Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Can the draft just hurry up and get here already?
Amen.
I mean,
let's do it. Get it over with.
Our buddy Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us on the show. Do you agree with us, Brett? Can the draft just hurry up and get here?
I mean, that would be great. At least it's Masters week.
It is. That's true. That's a good
point. If you're into that kind of thing, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I am. I just like it kind of hit. See, I like the years that it's around Easter. You know, like Easter Sunday and watching the final round is just, I don't know, there's something magical about that. But
Easter Sunday, you know, that's it being late this year kind of throws things off, you know. But I like it when it times up well, but this year is definitely a little different.
Yeah. So what do you make of the report that came out that, you know, the Titans brass, they go to Colorado, they go to the pro day, they see Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, they have private workouts set up for them, and then decide, hey, you know, we've seen enough, we got all we need, let's just cancel that. I take that as a, hey, we don't want to waste your time, we've made up our mind, we know what we're doing. Do you take it that way too?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part is, like, I guess when you're looking at different articles and different headlines, some say that the Titans canceled, and I noticed that some were saying that both parties agreed to cancel, right? So I don't know what happened. I don't know what the conversation was, but I think that's interesting that some just came out and said, yep, Titans canceled it. And others say that, hey, you know what? They had a conversation and they agreed to cancel it. So I think that's kind of an interesting way to go about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if the Titans did just cancel it, I mean, like I said, you're either gearing up because Cam Ward's your guy, or you're trying to make it look like Cam Ward is your guy. And I look at Pittsburgh. Like, what if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign with the Steelers? What are they going to do? Because they're in that pick zone where it's like, yeah, you barely made the playoffs, but, you know, here you are every year. They're kind of consistently picking from that same spot, right? Like, what does Pittsburgh do, right? Are they the ones that go try to trade for Kirk Cousins because they don't have a quarterback? Well, I mean, they have Mason Rudolph, but still, right? You know, so I just wonder if the Titans are really just trying to if they are in love with Cam Ward and that's their guy, then great. They got their quarterback. But, you know, are they really trying to kind of make it look like this is our guy, and try to increase the value of that pick?
Follow me on this next one. Because I think this is kind of important when
it's
you're
Monday.
I know, right?
Don't get too crazy.
I think this is important when you're looking at a prospect, and I'm curious of how you kind of view this as a player. But I think there has to be a balance in drafting a guy for his production, for what he did in college. You got to, you know, look at the stats and see that he was a productive player. But also looking at the traits that he possesses, the skills that he has, and how you as a staff can coach that and develop that at the NFL level. Do you find that to be a fair statement?
Yeah, I think a lot just depends on, I mean, you think about how many, let's just take quarterbacks, for example, right? I think that's the easiest position to look at. you know, how many quarterbacks get drafted early in their careers are wasted just because they go to a system that doesn't fit. Maybe the talent's not around them. I think so much just depends on where you go, like who's your coach, you know, what's the talent around you, what system are you in? Like, so much has to, like, to click, right? I mean, you look at somebody like Tim Tebow, right? Extremely productive college player, goes to the pros, right? Goes out to Denver. Would it have been different if he would have gone somewhere else in a different system, different coach, right? Well, I mean, we'll never know, right? But I just look at that and how many guys get drafted early, and you think of, like, man, if he would have gone maybe 15th to here, like, not everybody gets the luxury of Jordan Love, excuse me, or Patrick Mahomes, right, where you go a little bit later. You're under Andy Reid, right? You're learning under Alex Smith. You're learning under Aaron Rodgers and that system in Green Bay, right? I just think so much depends on where they go, the system that they're in. Like, is there consistency in the coaching staff, right? Are you going to be, well, year one, I had this coach and this coordinator. Year two, well, they got fired. So then it's this coach and this coordinator. Year three, oh, you know what? Same thing happened, right? And they're going through three or four coordinators, you know, on their first contract. And that's just extremely hard. You can have all the production in college and all the traits, but if you don't have consistency with your coaching staff, with your system, it's just really, really hard to succeed in the league.
Well, it's funny, real quick, you kind of lived that with a system, because I think Ken Whisenhunt ruined Jake Locker. I think he just ruined his confidence because Whisenhunt wanted you to conform to his system, not build his system around you. And I mean, he started to do that with Mariota, and I think Amy noticed that and ultimately got rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at like Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, right? Because if, you know, you have Joe Flacco as your starter and Lamar Jackson's your backup, those are probably the two complete opposite quarterbacks, right, that you could have in a quarterback room, right? But when Joe was done and then Lamar came in, it was, you know, his first year or two, right, just kind of getting into a new system. And then all of a sudden, look how Baltimore, you know, over the last, what, four, five, 6 years, 5 years, right, how they've conformed to the traits that Lamar's really good at, right? And now you add Derrick Henry to the room, and it's just like, man, this is crazy, right? And so, you know, you do have those coaches that are able to, like, evolve and change systems, or, like, you know, hey, I have A, B, and C player, and they're really good at these things. How can I make this offensive work, right? Or even on the defensive side, right, depending on the personnel that you have. And I think you have some coaches that are like, hey, this is what I do. This is what I run. I'm going to, you know, square peg in a round hole. If you can't do it, then you're out of here, right?
We're talking to Brett Kern on the People Show, the Chase Big Joe Show this morning. Brett, I'm a big fan of the TV show Rockford Files because I'm an old soul. And whenever something was so simple, Jim Rockford would always say, it's just too simple. The Cam Ward thing, I'm just telling you, it's too simple, Brett. It's just too simple. I think something massive is working behind the scenes, and it's driving me crazy, and I don't like it. I just think it's too simple that they've already decided on Cam Ward.
Oh, I'm with you. Like, I mean, like I said, I mean, you could say, hey, Cam Ward's their guy, and like that's it, and you can stop talking about it. But there's just something, I don't know, there's just something that's just a little fishy about it, and nobody really knows except for the people in that front office.
Yeah, and I think if they walk up there on that Thursday night and say, Varmore pick, we take Cam Ward, I just feel this way about 75% of Titans fans going to be like, oh, man, because they need so much, and I don't think Cam Ward is the answer. I hate it because I've now become emotionally, mentally invested in this, and it's driving me insane.
You're all in. Well, I mean, here's the other thing, too. Like, in previous drafts, like, at what point has, you know, whatever team is picking first, at what point have they come out and been like, yep, this is who we're drafting. This is who we love. Like, it's been, and I guess you could say, like, the Titans have, you know, they've invested in on Cam Ward and obviously doing all the things, the workout, the, you know, going down for his pro day, right? All the things that you typically do. I guess I just feel like in other drafts, it's maybe it's already been declared by now, maybe, right? Or it's been very clear cut of like, yep, hey, the Browns are going to pick this dude, right? Or, hey, you know what, Cincinnati, yep, they're going to pick Joe Burrow. Like, this is, we don't need to talk about it. All right, who's picking it to, right? And I feel like it's been very clear cut. And I think, like, if you really loved Cam Ward, which they might,
right,
on the other standpoint, like, why would you hear draft, or why would you hear trade talks or the potential of trade? Or, well, you know, if there's an offer that we can't, if like, he's your dude, right, you're not even talking about any of that stuff, right? I don't know. Maybe not. But I think that's where it leaves the hook, right? There's a little bit of that bait in the water that you're just like, but there's something, you know? There's something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in 15, it was pretty clear that Tampa was going to take Jameis Winston. You guys take Mariota. Right. 2011, I know Cam Newton went number one, and then Jake went later on, and Blaine Gabbert was up there, and you kind of like, oh, okay, you kind of knew something. But it wasn't like this, like you're talking about. It wasn't like, oh, this is our guy. Amy's traveled to meet him and all that. I just think it's too easy, and they need so much, and they have the ace. They have the ace where they could truly rob another team who's desperate to come up and get that number one pick. I just think if they make that announcement with Cam Ward, what all they need, like, ah. But if they can trade down, gobble up draft choices, have five in the first 120 picks, I'm telling you, that's right. How you rebuild a team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've gone back and looked at past drafts and all that stuff, and you look at kind of how Detroit, you know, Detroit did it, and, you know, multiple first-round picks and the guys that they got in that draft, in multiple drafts, you know, back-to-back years was just, I mean, it's like, whoa, you look at this guy, you know, he's a starter, he's a Pro Bowler, he's now an All-Pro. And you have all these picks, and they hit on him too, which is obviously another important part, because you can have five in the first, 100, and that's great, but you got to hit on them, right? Five of those guys, like probably four of them need to be day one starters, and your fifth needs to be a pretty heavy contributor, right? So that's the other thing too. If you're able to get that, like the guys that you pick, man, they got to come in and make an impact pretty early on. Not necessarily being like, hey, these guys got to be all pro, they got to be Pro Bowler, but I mean, if you can get some good production out of those guys, that'd be huge.
We're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So I want to ask you this, because you've been in situations like this over your career of going into a season where, you know, the coach is the coach, but I wouldn't say that it's set in stone that he's going to be the coach beyond this year. And I think it's fair to say that there's that thought with Brian Callahan. How do you navigate that as a player, of hearing some of that noise that maybe your coach is on the hot seat? Is that something you think about, or do you just try and put it out?
I mean, it's not great. It definitely leads to some awkward moments at times. Like, conversations at breakfast and lunch tend to be a little bit more quiet. and I think it's not only the head coach, but you look at like the whole staff, right? And so it affects everybody, right? It's not just the head coach getting fired. It's the whole staff too, you know, depending on what they have left contracts. And so, that goes down to the tension in the running back room, because, you know, if the head coach get fired, then the running back coach is gone, right? And so special teams, it's just, things just become a little bit more tense. But, you know, really at the end of the day though, guys will have conversations, and, you know, I remember the time when, you know, they were talking about Coach Malarkey getting fired. And here we are, like, hey, we're trying to make this playoff run. Like, this is so confusing. Like, would they really fire a coach, you know, for playoff games, right? Or get into the playoffs, and then we win the playoff game, and like, wait a second, he's still on the hot seat? Like, I just don't understand what's going on. And so that's when you got the whole balance, you know, when you get that balance off where, you know, you hire a coach, then you wait, and then you hire a GM. Like, there's a certain order to things, right? And I think that helps, you know, the whole organization flow, right? But when you get it out of order, it tends to get a little chaotic, right? And so, because this guy's not my guy. I really wanted to hire this guy, but when I got the job here, he was somewhere else, and, you know, this isn't the coach that I want. You know, it just becomes really clouded and, chaotic. And so, but really at the end of the day, like, as a player, like, you can have those conversations. And we did. I mean, we had plenty of them, whether it's at breakfast, lunch, hot tub, you name it. But at the end of the day, like, we all have our jobs to do. And so whether, you know, it's Coach A or Coach B that are coaching the Titans, like, my job is still the same. Like, I had a job up there to punt the ball, to not hit touchbacks, to hit it directionally. And whether it was Coach A or Coach B, my job didn't change. And so that's what, you know, a lot of guys, you just focus in on what you're supposed to do, because, you know, if a new coach does come in, the film from the previous year is obviously still on tape, and that coach is going to come in. And now here you are almost having another tryout for this new coach.
Former Titans punter Brett Kern with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Brett, in 2015, I was doing a live sports report before the draft for Channel 4 at Nissan Stadium. And I was standing next to Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter when they announced the Mariota pick, and they were not happy. They denied not being happy, but I had it on tape. I wasn't going to argue. I would have loved to have seen you on tape in 2022 when you found out A.J. Brown was traded. Where were you, and what was your reaction?
I was at home watching the draft with my son. And I just remember, like, getting a text message on my phone, and it's like, hey, we traded – I think it's from another teammate. It's like, hey, man, we traded A.J. And I think I was just speechless. I think I was speechless for probably a good minute. And then
you were, because, like, it took you a few minutes to respond to me.
I just didn't know what to say. And I was speechless. And then I thought, yeah, this is the NFL. This is the business that is the business. So things like this happen. And, I'm still kind of speechless, talking about it, at this, you know, this far down the road, but, that's the business. That's the way it goes.
Did you see, I don't mean to interrupt you, were you watching and you saw Vrabel's reaction to that?
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it all. I'm just like, yeah, this is crazy. But, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, with the trade and all that kind of stuff, that whoever we picked could, you know, come in. And you knew, like, it wasn't going to be AJ. Like, when whoever we picked, obviously it's being Traylon, like, you knew, like, all right, Traylon, you are not AJ Brown. That there's only one AJ Brown. There's only one Traylon Burks. Like, just go be you. Go be who you are. And, yeah, I mean, that's just how the business works. Stuff happens. Some of it's obviously huge and public news, and some of it's kind of low key. But, you know, this stuff, it's just, I don't know. I felt like at that point when I saw that, I was like, oh man, I've seen it all now. This is the cherry on top.
Oh, yes. Yep. But that is the way it goes sometimes. Brett, thanks so much as always. And we're so much closer to the draft. We'll talk next week.
It's one more week, right? And it's Masters week. It's a good week.
We're going to get there.
No, we're going to get there eventually.
Yes, we are. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yep. We'll see you. I'll take care.
Brett Curran, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. Always appreciate him. We'll react to some of that and much more coming up next. You can weigh in at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 1063, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. On this Monday, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, we love – what is our favorite thing on this show?
Hyper-local.
High schools, anything in our community.
Hyper-local, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about here. We have coming in studio with us Dr. Michael Holland, who is the director of bands at Franklin High School, of course, in Franklin. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Excited to be here.
All right. I'm going to let you do the honors because, you know, I've been in communication with you guys about this to set all this up, but – your band has the opportunity to do something really, really cool. Tell us about our other guests that we have here.
Well, we have Mr. Mark Levins, the president of the Tournament of Roses, and the Franklin Band has been invited to perform in the 2026 Tournament of Roses Parade.
Mark, I think from any school's perspective, to get that invite is pretty cool. How does that process work?
Yeah, it actually begins a year and a half in advance. We got over 100 applications, and we reviewed about 60 complete full applications, and the Franklin Band was one of seven individual high schools out of those 100 to be invited for the January 1st, 2026 parade.
That's pretty – so it's 100 you have in the – in the parade itself?
No, 100 applications. Yeah, okay. We'll have a total of 18 marching bands. So Franklin's one of seven high schools. The others, of course, are the two universities that play in the game. They bring their marching bands. And then we have the Marine Corps band is in our parade every year. And then a band from Japan and a band from Mexico. But only seven high schools. So it's quite an honor for Franklin.
I mean, how special is it to know that the Tournament of Roses parade is one of those things that, like, even my mother, who could not care less about football, you know, doesn't watch the game, but she watches the parade every year.
Yeah, no, it's great that we have two iconic events. And we love starting out the day. We're America's New Year celebration. We love people getting up on New Year's Day watching the parade. And like you said, there's a certain group of people that watch the parade. And then the afternoon, for anybody that's a sports fan, you've got the granddaddy of them all in the afternoon.
Dr. Holland, what was your reaction when we got the news that you guys were going to get invited?
We were so excited. It's truly an honor to be a part of the legacy of the Tournament of Roses. The Franklin Band actually participated back in 1996, and so this is our 30th anniversary of getting to attend it. And we're part of a very small group that gets to have multiple appearances in the parade.
So what's next? What, now that you know you're going, what all does the band need?
Well, it's a large undertaking to travel across the nation, there's a lot of preparation that goes into traveling, as I'm sure you know. We have about close to 250 participants that are students that'll be marching in the parade. And so it takes a lot to get there. We are working with our community and seeking fundraising opportunities, generous donations to help our program get there, but also to help our students get to take advantage of this opportunity.
Mark, can you say your title again? Because I just want to hear it again.
Yeah, I'm the president of the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Association.
Does that get you front seat at a restaurant?
Right. It's quite an honor. I'm a volunteer member. I've been volunteering for 31 years. So to do this as a volunteer and get to represent our association in the small town of Pasadena of 140,000 people out in Pasadena, it's quite an honor.
A lot of times you'll see parades. We'll still be around all happy and everybody, all that good stuff. But this gets bigger and better. And you mentioned how it is and everything. And it's iconic. I mean, this doesn't happen with every parade, right?
No, it's a lot of preparation. You know, people think we just turn around floats and build them like from October on. But no, we've actually started the process. We invited Michael and the band from Franklin late last year in November. And not only do we invite the bands, but we've started building floats. We've already seen our initial design for floats, and those are in process. We started that in March.
Mike, when you got the call, or was it a call or text that you guys are going to the Rose Bowl?
It was actually an announcement at the Bands of America Grand Nationals competition in Indianapolis. We were one of the bands selected from those participants that made it there, and so it was a surprise, a shock, and it was announced in front of all of the attendees at the event.
Did you have any idea, or were you like maybe?
I was hopeful, and then I got a call. Initially inviting us, and then it was pulling everything together so that we could get down to the field for the official announcement in front of everyone.
I got to think this is number one on the list.
Oh, it's yeah. Right? This is an incredible opportunity.
Oh, that's great. Mark, how hard is it to make these decisions? Because I'm sure all the submissions you get, you want to let everybody in, but obviously there's just not room.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. Franklin, in fact, we looked at them. They had applied for the parade last year, and we had looked at them initially and chose another band actually from the same region of the country that just outpointed them by a few votes. So it was really hard not to invite them on our first go-round. And then when they were in the Bands of America competition and we saw their name came up again, and we always save one invitation from that competition. When we saw Franklin's name come up a second time, we were really ecstatic to be able to vote them in and have them come a second time.
So I'm also curious of, you know, in the planning process of all of this, and like you mentioned, of working, you know, years in advance, it basically, when you know the two teams that are going to participate in the game, do they just kind of plug right in, essentially?
No, there's a lot of planning that goes into that, actually. For years, we've had the luxury of having our Pac-10 partners and our Big Ten partners. And with the college football playoff, they've been great to work with. And they kind of respect some of our traditions. And so we kind of knew we were going to get the Big Ten champion last year. But the other side of the equation, we had to go brief the two teams that were in the game in the first round, the play-in game with Tennessee and Ohio State had their game. And so we didn't know until December 21st which was going to be the other band that was going to be coming until December 22nd. Normally, we know the first weekend in December when the two Rose Bowl teams are announced.
All right, so now it's been announced. You don't just get to fly out there and everything. What do you need now, Michael?
We need support, and really more so to help the program get there, to help our capital expenses, but also to ensure that every student gets the opportunity that wants to go for them to get to go. We're estimating the cost per student to be between $3,500 to $4,000 apiece, and again, we want to help as many students go as possible to help lower that cost so that all of the students get to go.
When do you? I know you have to do the football season, all that. When do you start preparing for the Rose Bowl parade?
It's already begun.
Oh, really?
The students have already signed up, and we've already rolled out our rehearsal plans. We've been very fortunate with our district. They've allowed us to invite our alumni, our current senior class, back for the parade.
Nice.
Which is unique, and we're so thrilled that they're trusting us to do that. We've also been able to extend the invitation to some of the students that are in a feeder pattern in our middle schools. And so we're beginning that training program in May, and that'll carry all the way through until we get to get on the plane.
Oh, that's great. Chase, you still want to flip a baton, right? We can maybe get our way onto this trip.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could do this as well. I always wonder because we watch it here in Nashville like at 9 o'clock, but That's 7 o'clock, right? I mean, what time do you get to work that? Or do you even
sleep
that week?
Yeah, no, we don't sleep that night. A lot of us are up overnight with rehearsals and stuff. And Michael and the band, I mean, I don't know what your 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning call time, they've got to line up by 6 or 7 a.m. And not only do they march down the parade route, you know, from where they park their bus, it's about a mile to the parade route, and then it's a 5.5 mile parade route. So there'll be three quarters, about 750,000 people along the parade route, close to 1 million people watching them live, and then another 28 million watching them in 70 countries around the world.
Amazing.
But it's 7 miles, so they got to start training now. It's a long haul for those kids.
Yeah.
How can people help you?
Go to our website, thefranklinband.org, and we have a lot of information there for any generous donations. We're a nonprofit organization, our booster organization is, and people can go there to donate. We also have a list of our fundraising opportunities coming up in the short term, but also in the long term, that'll really start hitting at the end of this school year and then again at the start of next school year. And so getting plugged into those things as well would be really beneficial.
Well, we're here to help and get the word out. This is awesome. This is, you know, to be able to talk about this. Congratulations. And Michael, Mark, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us. It's great.
Thank you very much.
Very, very cool. We'll have more coming on the Chasing Big Joe show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators at 102.5 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, April 16th for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be free giveaways like hats and t-shirts, maybe a win. Plus, you could win autographed baseballs and free Braves tickets to a game of your choice. Also, the first 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. We're looking forward to that. Chasing Big Joe, and hopefully my Braves can get it turned around by then. And they've got one win.
They've got one. Yeah. Okay, all right.
All it takes is one. Got to start there. So hopefully they can get that going. Really cool with the Tournament of Roses Parade, the tradition there, and the Franklin Band. So we wish them nothing but the best. I wanted to bring this up. We talked earlier in the show about Alex Ovechkin breaking the record, being the all-time goal scorer in the National Hockey League. There's a video that the NHL put out that was a really cool interaction between Ovechkin and Ilya Sorokin, who is the goaltender for the New York Islanders. He gave Ovechkin his stick, and at the end of the year, he'll give the glove as well, so Ovi can have those keepsakes of, you know, the guy that he ultimately broke the record on. And I think that's pretty classy by Sorokin. You know, it'd be very easy to not want to be on the other side of history like you are, but at the same time, everyone's going to know your name because you were the one. So
this reminds me of David Price when he gave up Jeter's 3,000th hit. I believe this, and David Price, for listening, I'll still argue with you. I believe David Price gave that up on purpose.
I always have wondered that. Like, if you're
watch that pitch again.
Yeah, right. Like,
you could have knocked it out of the park.
It was a meatball, but
it was.
But I've always wondered if you're facing someone in whatever sport that you know that there was a moment, there's a historical stat or whatever. You know, are you going to go out there and like play the hardest you've ever played in your life to not be the one? Or is it kind of better, like, let's just get this out of the way and then move on?
I think you play the game as you always play it.
I do too.
But that pitch from Price, and somebody broke it down like he's never thrown that kind of pitch before, and it was, all right, a meatball's a good one, and Jeter jacked it. So forever, he's got a home run on his 3,000th hit, and then David Price gave it. I'm fine with it.
How do you feel about Ovechkin? He said this, that he does not want to be in a situation where he breaks it on an empty netter. He tied it Friday night. He scored two goals and tied Gretzky with his second goal.
Right.
They did get into a situation where they were leading by one, and so the opposing team pulled.
That hurt?
It did. Pulled the goaltender. And Ovechkin was – they kept showing the bench. He was talking to his coach.
Right.
He did not go out there initially with the empty netter, and he could have very easily gone out there and probably scored. Washington ends up scoring an empty net goal. Then Ovechkin went out there when the goalie went back in, and I mean he had like three chances,
right,
and tried to score there. I respect him that it's like, man, I don't want it that way. I want it the old fashioned way. I want to work for it.
Okay.
I want to beat the goaltender to break the record.
Let me ask you this. Does it count if it's an empty netter?
It does.
Then you score when you have the opportunity. I get it. That's great. Sounds great. But I know they're already in the playoffs, but the goal is to win games.
So look,
put
the
Islanders away.
I think had he been on the ice and the net was open, he's not going to not take the shot.
Right, yeah.
Like, if he's got the shot, he's going to take the shot.
It all sounds good.
But I respect the fact that he's like, I really would prefer, I don't want to do it that way. But he's never going to do anything to hurt his team. I think if the coach had said, hey, I need you to go out there, I need you to score, it's going to help us, he would have been like, you got it.
It sounds good, but you scored.
But if the coach said, hey, I know you want to get this the right way, if I can make that happen, that's what I'm going to make happen. But if I need you, I need to know I can count on you. And then the answer was probably like, absolutely.
Good.
So
I like it.
I
like it a lot.
So he breaks the record in a really cool interaction there. Coming up next, it is time for our favorite What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. It's also time for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with our partners at Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we'll be back at the Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May the 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You could join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Just sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Monday. Get ready for the championship game tonight. What time's the tip? It's usually like, 10:30.
7:50.
Oh, good. Okay. There was one year it was like 8:45. I'm like, what are we doing?
You living on the East Coast now?
No, it was Central. I mean, like 7:50 I can deal with. That's fine. Anytime before 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. With that, let's get to What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. Brought to you by Jared Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, the only company you need for commercial construction services. Just visit them at JaredCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have a lot of abbreviations, but let's go. I'm going to skip that one. It's long. Empowered Women's Entrepreneurs Day. That's great. International Beaver Day. How about that? Beaver Day.
How about that?
Okay. International Day of Reflection on the 1994 Rwanda Genocide. International Snail Papers Day. Snail Papers.
What is snail papers?
It just says snail papers. I don't know.
What was the one, too, back before Rwanda? What was that one?
It says Empowered Women's Entrepreneurs Day.
After that, maybe?
International Beavers Day.
Okay. And after that was...
The Rwanda.
Okay. Yeah, just making sure I got my list correct.
Okay. Metric System Day. National Beer Day. I feel like that's pretty often. Ooh, National Coffee Cake Day. Big coffee cake guy. National. Don't. That's a pop-up. We don't want that. Oh, what happened? Okay, we're good. National Pet Health Insurance Day. National No Housework Day. Yikes. National Making Fit. Oh, no. National Making First Moves Day. Sorry, I was about to say fist moves. Like, that's not right. National Fun Day is next. Let's see. Sweet Potato Day.
Love sweet potatoes.
Public Television Day. World Health Day. World Health Organization Day. And yeah, that's about it. We're good.
Glad there's not a National Fist Day. I'm telling you that right now.
Yow. Yikes.
Right? Am I telling you?
Fist fights everywhere.
And that.
Just
all right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within two. Oh, Dr. Crane, you are
the last one.
Absolute best thing on the planet, man.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy. First birthday, director Francis Ford Coppola.
The Godfather.
The Godfather.
Should I say what Jared said in Italian?
Sure, I'll just dump it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to say he is 84.
93.
86. Chase knows his Italian heritage more than Dr. Crane does.
I wish I could read this text on the text line.
No, don't. Just don't. Next up, actor Jackie Chan.
63.
65.
71.
Did I miss something? Or
we'll talk after the show.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Actor Russell Crowe. By the way, if you ever saw Russell Crowe in the movie L.A. Confidential, you need to watch it because it's one of the best roles ever. How old is Russell Crowe?
How old was Jackie Chan?
71.
Okay. Russell Crowe is 60.
58.
61. Chaser's up 2-0. Refreshed from the weekend. He's back. Yeah. Ready to go. Actor Bill Bellamy.
58.
63.
60. Chaser up 3-0. Well done, Chase.
Thanks.
Popping that outside corner. Country singer Bobby Bear, legend.
I cannot read my text anymore.
Don't do it.
Bobby Bear, 64.
67.
90.
Nice. Okay.
Singer, guitar player John Oates of Hall & Oates.
76.
77.
77, exactly. Nice. Dr. Crane's on the board. 3-2, Chaser. Singer Janice Ian.
What'd she sing?
That one song.
Cool. 74.
77.
74, exactly. 5-2, Chase. Oh, my goodness. Hold on some more here. Singer John Cooper of Skillet.
If I said what was in my head right now, it would end you. I'm going to say 58.
60.
He is 50. All right, sports birthdays now. Tony Dorsett.
73.
69.
Oh, it's a push. He's 71. Boxer Buster Douglas. You know what he's famous for? Knocking out Mike Tyson.
Yeah. 62.
He's like National Fist Day. 67. You know, boxers use their fist.
How old is he?
67.
65.
So I win that point.
You do.
Yeah, you win it. You're killing me, man. You're killing me. Former UT football player, played for the Bears and the Seahawks, Jeremy Lincoln, DB.
When did he play for the Seahawks?
Somewhere back in time.
Okay. I'm lost now. 58.
It's back in the future, Joe. Back in time. Let's go 71.
56. Chase is up 6-3 now. Ricky Waters, former Notre Dame running back, played with the Eagles and the Niners.
57.
60.
56. Chase is up. Very methodical today. I like this, Chase.
Like a beaver.
Yeah. Yep. That's why. Buckies. International Beaver Day. Bucky the Beaver. Yep. Rondé Barber, friend of the show.
Yes, he is a friend of the show. 46.
42.
50. Great guard for the Oakland Raiders, Steve Wisniewski. Played at Penn State. Great guard.
62.
65.
58. Oh, and Rondé Barber's brother, Tiki Barber. How old is Tiki Barber?
Yeah, they're twins. I would think they'd have the same day.
All right, what's his birthday?
Oh, man.
You weren't paying attention.
I sure wasn't.
I love it. JoJo planned it out.
Did I get that one?
No, you didn't.
What'd I say?
For his brother?
Yeah.
You said not the correct age.
50.
52.
50 exactly. Chaser the buzzer.
Short-term memory.
Chaser wins 9-3. Well
done. I'm
like
Dory over here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you are.
We'll be back tomorrow maybe at 9 o'clock. But DVD coming up next.
Yeah, if not, enjoy all the days Nick gave you. No, seriously, to our guys out there, if you're struggling, we tell you all the time, we love you guys. On your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Always say if something's going on, please talk to somebody. Don't let it fester inside of you. Please talk to somebody. Look, your journey is your journey. You are tremendously loved. And if something were to happen to you, you'd be tremendously missed. Trust me on this, all right? So know that we love you. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.